In a world where you need audio heroes, several nerds will come together to fight for nerdkind. It's time for nerds to step up and unite. It's time for Crisis on Infinite Podcasts.
Welcome back to the nerdy news you need to know throughout the week on iHeartRadio and podcast services around the world, because my name's Huddy.
McClunky.
And you're officially listening to this Thursday episode of what, Kevin?
Crisis
on
Infinite
Podcast.
I watched A New Hope on my break today at work, and I was like, oh, I forgot about McClunky. It's horrible.
You threw me off, and I was like, wait a second, what happens now? He said that instead of his name. I don't know where to go. That's okay. If you heard, Teddy's very vocal today, and that's okay. You know, it's spooky season. We don't have a cat hissing in the background. We just got a dog trying to figure out how to talk, you know?
My cat won't come up from the basement. She comes to the steps, looks around, says, okay, that's not for me.
Yes, this cat that Kevin didn't tell us about until like 2 months ago, everybody, after 5 years of friendship. What are you going to do?
Hey, her name, by the way.
What?
That's how you heard her name? My daughter named her.
Shadow.
Cookie Slice.
I think you said Cookie. I don't think you gave me the full name, though, before.
Yeah, her name is Cookie Slice White,
and
just so you know.
Yeah, you're also an imaginary dog that also exists. What's its name?
Rags, because we found her in the park.
There you go. So there you know. If you, fun fact, I didn't know about this till 2 months ago, and now Kevin still hasn't sent me pictures of the cat or the dog, so I don't know if they're real still. Kevin should be making up lies on the fly right now. I haven't even seen them in person.
I mean, technically, they're my wife and child's pets. I was against getting both of them.
There's no pet parent. I mean, there are some people, those are the bad people, say like, oh, it's hers, it's not mine. You're married and fathered one of them, so you have those pets as yours.
I made it clear. I said, when it comes to taking care of these animals, it's you. I'm just going to play. I'm not taking care of any animals.
Have you fed them?
When they're on vacation.
Have you taken them to the vet?
No.
Okay. So there you. If you took them to the vet, I was like, they're damn straight. What is their last name at the vets?
Well, it's from my father. It's my father's last name. It's not mine. Wait,
your father's last name is your last name.
Exactly. So we all got it from him. It didn't even get it from me.
They're my sister and brother. I'm just looking after them.
Taking care of pets is hard work. All you pet parents out there, my hat's off to you. It's more work than having a kid. Good
Well, Lord. I wouldn't say that. And all my hats off to you real parents out there.
It is, because if my daughter is being a little much, I can give her my phone and she'll just go away. The dog's not going nowhere.
Teddy, you just toss food. Teddy will go after it. But anyway, I don't know how we got in this diatribe of pet things. We are talking a lot, not really about pets anymore this episode. Have a special guest in about 5 minutes, so we get to enjoy that with past Hoodie, I think, yeah, because we recorded a little earlier because he couldn't record now, so that's okay. We are checking in with the DC Arrowverse, because a lot going on over there, so that's going to be interesting. MCU has a bunch of delays, / we're just going to give you a recheck on spoiler etiquette, just for you, people at Variety, people that are bigger than us, just so you know, in case you ever go to a screening on a Thursday, and then, you know, you still got 2 weeks until the movie comes out or something. And then, obviously, talking about who moved on into the Eerie 8 of our Halloween bracket, a.k.a. the greatest Halloween movie ever. But first things first, you've been voting there all week, and we have hundreds of votes for these movies at infinite_pods, where you can vote for our greatest Halloween movie ever tournament / bracket of champions, whatever you want to say. Or, Kevin, where can they go to make their own bracket with their friends?
99.5.com/crisiscrew.
Heck yeah. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm glad. I am pleased with the bracket so far. It came through, and I'm glad it did, because I was worried for a second last night.
I'm still hating that Ghostbusters got eliminated, so.
Well,
I'm not happy.
That was 2 rounds ago, Kevin, so you gotta suck it up. Moved on already.
No.
No, I don't want to talk about it more again. But Kevin, we always actually start the podcast properly with what you're watching and what you're playing. It's the games and movies and all that good stuff we've been doing throughout the week. Because Thursday, we talk about them games we've been playing throughout the week. And I get to go first. Before that happens, I want to celebrate one member who we're officially inducting into the hashtag Crisis Crew. As of right now, we tell you every week, you answer some of our riddles / questions. Sometimes there are riddles. We will send you a hashtag Crisis Crew band, a letter signed by one of us, just depending on who is closest to the printer. Usually me or Kevin, depending on if he's near a printer. I don't know why I said that. And then a little surprise sometimes, if there's surprises abound. This week, guess who's getting a Crisis Crew band? It is Jessica Dean. I don't know if I don't want to say your middle name, but artsy_Lynn14, a.k.a. the wife of CJ Slides, a.k.a. Pierce, who's been listening to us forever. Guess what? Both y'all are officially inducted in the hashtag Crisis Crew. I feel like we've already inducted Pierce, but guess what? You're re-inducted.
Oh, he's promoted.
You're promoted. There you go. We don't have a hierarchy. We're not like the Lord of the Rings Shadow of Mordor game where you can go from a little grunt orc to like commander orc or whatever. That's a video game reference for you. But anyway, Jessica and actually Pierce both had degrees in accounting and economics. And they when we asked last week, what would happen to the money if people got snapped? Would it increase or decrease? According to Jessica, because there's less people, the amount of money would not change. However, if the money on those people got snapped, like in their pockets, which technically it did, because all it turned into dusty bits or whatever, yeah, the value of money would go up because of supply and demand. However, less supply, more demand equals greater value. If the people got snapped, but the money stayed there, the opposite would happen. So it's a supply and demand refresher on you, because you probably haven't heard about it if you didn't take economics since like fifth grade.
Economics in ninth grade, and most of what I learned from that guy was get a credit card, buy video games, pay it off and get credit. I was like, oh, cool.
All right, we'll do that. Great. That's the thing. Like, I know this is a life thing. I think the last real economic class I took, just because like I was in IB, was really fifth grade, where it was like, this is the economic subject. And guess this is how to do taxes. I was like, why are we learning about taxes? We're like 12 years old. We don't even know how to do this.
The kids know that in 20 years, you just go on a website and put things in and they do them for you.
And sometimes they take way more money from you than they should be. But then you realize there's a free version that you can't use because they jip you on that one too.
Even free? No, that's going to run you $95. No, sorry, we lied.
$50, please. Oh, you want more money? At $60, please.
Oh, you want to do state too? That's another $100.
Oh, that's going to be, we need a little cut back there. But anyway, Jess and technically Pierce, because you guys are married, you both getting a little package to you in the next coming days. I'll just DM you after this podcast at @infinite_pods for your address, because we want to give that on the podcast, because that's weird.
Or if you have a P.O. box, we can do that too.
Yes, we can do that too. But game I've been playing is a game I can't talk about till next week, but I've been enjoying the heck out of it. And do the math, that's on you. It's been fun. So that's all I'll say.
Yeah, I haven't started that game yet. I have been still, I guess, going around the wilds of Horizon.
Yes.
Zero Dawn. Game's amazing. I'm really having fun. I'm about to get to the point, I think, where they explain what happened to make all these robot creatures.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a question. Mm-hmm. This might spoil you, because I'm asking about what I saw in the sequel trailer. It takes place on Earth, like post-apocalyptic Earth, or somewhere else?
I know it's post-apocalyptic. I'm not sure if it's Earth or not. That's a good question. I haven't even thought about that, actually, if it's Earth or another planet.
All right. And can you ride one of those cool-looking dinosaur robots?
Yes. Yesterday, I rode a Strider, which is basically, I guess, a robot horse.
Oh.
And I rode the robot Brontosaurus, or whatever. It was crazy.
All right. We're getting some robots in here now.
Yeah, I'm having fun with that, but I'm looking to start the game we can't talk about till next week on Friday.
And you will have a good time, let me tell you that. But someone who isn't having a good time with a game he has been playing, you might know him as Intern John, okay? Not really my boss. Just the host of your morning show. And I got to talk to him about NHL 22 because it came out, I think, earlier or late last week. And it's a hockey game that's playable. If you're into sports games, we got you covered here, too. So take it away, Paz Hoodie.
Thank you, Future Hoodie. So I'm here with Intern John.
Hey.
He made his reappearance on the podcast.
It's 2 years later?
2 years. I don't know. I feel like it's been longer, but.
Probably, yeah.
Was it Star Wars? When was the last time
I think we talked
you
about this video games in general. I feel like that was like, I think it was at least 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, COVID year, so it might have been three.
Who knows? It's been so long.
Yeah.
But he's back because there's a game out that
yes,
specifically is just for him.
Yes. EA Sports NHL 22.
Yeah.
Thank you for the code. Yeah. I've had a chance to play for about a week. You know, sports games. Well, here's the thing. I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, what am I going to say? Hockey games are hard in general because it's a long season. So it's 82 mm-hmm. games. But then I was like, yeah, but MLB The Show didn't feel like it was that bad, though. So I think the thing with NHL, like, does it, like every sports game, do the graphics look better? Yes. about where even it's like they took
new
the same
names,
template.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but not even that though. Some of the players don't. It's like it's for sure the same. Like when you know the play by play, like you know what the next line is going to be already. Mm-hmm. That's kind of annoying. I think they just put for the Frostbite into NHL, like the Frostbite.
Yeah, the engine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so let me start with the they have like the be a pro mode hockey like all sports games. I think it gets annoying where it takes a long time to get your player to where it's like
really good.
Unless
you change the settings,
right?
The
like they get paid or whatever. And with hockey, like I think FIFA did a better job of, and I think from what I've seen from 2K of like the interactions with coaches and stuff, and like that actually affects the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
With hockey, the coach doesn't talk. There's dialogue, but there's nobody talking.
And there's command options.
Always like, go and score a goal. And it's like, there's a lot of busy work in NHL. There's a lot of busy work. So I think I'm only a little bit into the be a pro thing. It just looks the same. I feel like.
Now, when you, this is a contention point on this podcast.
Yes.
Do you make yourself in the game or do you create your own imaginary player? Just like, he's short, but he's got a long ass beard and he's going to dominate.
Oh,
on
I make
people.
Myself. And oh, then okay. Do you want to know what I thought of though? Like, the more of like tracking people, I'm like, I'm sure EA knows every game I've bought my entire life because they search my name and they can see every sport.
And you have to agree. Well, most games now have the or login account or whatever. And then you're like, I don't remember what the login is for this, but they know. They remember.
I think NHL went away from, like, they did the World of Chell, which is like the online thing. I think that's their focus. But
they have like a 2K mode now?
I think the first came out two games ago. And that's fine too, but it's the same thing where it's like you're playing against guys who do this like for a living.
Mm-hmm.
So overall, I think if you got NHL 21, you can probably pass NHL 22.
Yeah.
I also think too, with sports games, like I feel like we're in an awkward place between the consoles, or like kind of like where iPhone was, where like eventually it loses its luster, the new ones. I don't think anybody really knows outside of you nerds the difference between Xbox One and like the new one. I think like the game I got is for Xbox One. What's the new Xbox?
Series X.
So I think like once all the games are like on the newest console, maybe that'll be better, but otherwise it just, I mean, it feels like it's the same.
Yeah, so pretty much like, so you got a normal Xbox version of the game. If you were to get the Series X version, all it would be like an extra download of like HD textures, at least for some games. Some games it's like you have to buy a whole new version, but for like this game it's just like, oh, it's just an HD pack. Maybe it's like you can see some more flakes of the ice.
Well, that's the problem I think with sports games that EA has the threshold in all of them, except for FIFA. Now, I think it was yesterday they announced they're going to be looking at other developers. I think hockey needs that. Madden sure as hell needs that. Like when you're the only game in town, it's very easy copy and paste.
Oh yeah. So go to team in the game. Mm-hmm. What is yours?
This is going to be a long convoluted answer, Andrew, but so Minnesota is my go-to team. However, in real life, Minnesota had to buy out two contracts, which means like the contracts were like 98 million. Wow, the hell is that wet? Who spells that, Eric? So the contracts, how it works is like there's a buyout penalty. So Minnesota has $14 million, a dead cap against their salary for the next 3 years, which means in the game, that's $14 million per season. You have less to work with their budgets. So that part sucks. So I like the Caps in Tampa, but Minnesota is always the go-to.
And then for your be a pro, what team did you get drafted to?
Minnesota. That's the other thing too, is that you can go through like the, like I had this problem when, NCAA used to let you do, like, you could do your character all the way through and then get drafted in Madden.
Mm-hmm.
And you could have 10 million yards in your college career. You ain't going above a 75 Madden when you're drafted. So the problem with the be a pro thing is you can score 5,000 goals in those three preseason games. You ain't going to be above a 69. So then I go right to the NHL. Right to Minnesota.
All right. So out of 10 hockey sticks, what would you give it? You can put half hockey sticks if they got broken, too. So there you go.
If you haven't played it recently, I would say a 7.
Out of 10 hockey sticks?
No, I'm gonna say 6.
6 out of 10 hockey sticks.
And
if you play
every year, just you're gonna walk in disappointed.
No hockey sticks. All right, there we go. Thank you, John.
Hey!
And back to your regularly scheduled program.
Thank you, Pass Hoodie, again. And speaking of checking in and going to our favorite places, whether it may be hockey or not, for us it's not, for him it is. It's time for the news.
It's time for the news.
And we're going to check in right in with the DCEU, aka specifically the Arrowverse, in a little bit. Kevin, it's time for the DC check-in.
Are we doing the good part first or the bad part first?
We're just going to do the two good parts first. Actually, there's three good parts and then one bad part, really. Really bad part.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So cool thing is, DC Fandom had the numbers. 66 million people watched the stream or broadcast, at least on just YouTube as of this podcast recording, and tripled the numbers it did last year, which is dope as hell. Just goes to show streamlining your process and not making an entire day makes it more accessible for people.
This is actually funny to me because I've been seeing a lot of people say that it wasn't as good as last year's and they didn't enjoy it as much. So the fact that they tripled this year, plus the fact that not as many people were home this year, like locked, like physically locked in, than was actually, that's actually very surprising.
Yeah, I think it really is like they promoted, like I think last year, like we didn't know really what was happening at all, like what was going to be about. We're actually going to get jank out of it because it was right around, I think right around before or after Comic-Con, we're like, are we actually going to get anything or E3? It was around, I think it was in between both of those. We're like, are they going to save it for those? We're this like, no, we've been saving this. You haven't seen in a while. We're getting the Batman trailer. Teased that for a week and the people are like, all right, that was our surprise treat last year. Let's get the full thing now.
I remember when they first talked about it, they were saying it was going to be like a virtual experience where you actually can walk around like an actual convention.
Oh,
like
that's
impossible. How are you going to do that?
Make it true. I want to be in the Hall of Justice, please.
But they essentially just made, and I still wonder if other studios are going to do this, a Direct, like a Sony Direct or Nintendo Direct, basically what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it was still, you know, 3.5-ish hours, which isn't as direct as possible. But I think if they're condensing and learning from past mistakes, just get rid of those weird, awkward panels. It'd be cool. Yeah, like we did have James Gunn, like the cast of Peacemaker, talking about the show. But I'm like, really just could have just had John Cena and James Gunn because they just talked to each other. And like, oh, you want the extended conversation? Go to YouTube, which they did for a couple of things, but not for like the big trailers.
Yeah, I think that actually would be a good idea because I remember when Black Panther was about to launch the expansion for the Avengers, they just kept doing like live with the voice cast with kind of funny and got a lot of people watching it. So I figured maybe we should do that, have those panels just as live events on Twitter and YouTube, and then just have the whole streaming panel of all the trailers and everything coming up on the actual quote unquote fandom.
Because I think, I don't know exactly how it worked, but because they had DC Kids Fandom or Fandom Kids, which was like a separate stream before Fandom, they really revealed that the only thing really was like, oh, we're doing Super Pets the video game, which, okay, cool. We're going to get a trailer on that next month for the actual video game. But like, yeah, I think even better, it's good for them. And it just shows that we're hungry for some DC movie content because they really sat out. Luckily for them, the pandemic, because they didn't have anything and it worked out to their advantage.
Yeah. And speaking of that Super Pets movie, I might go see that in the theater. I'm not entirely sure. It looks kind of funny.
Which movie? Oh, Super Pets?
Super Pets movie with The Rock and Kevin Hart.
I think it's kind of funny. A good time. I don't think it's going to give us anything, but you know what? It'll be a fun time. You know, maybe they'll have pet screenings. I can bring Teddy to his first. Oh, that would be exciting. That'd be the perfect first movie with him.
Can you do that anywhere? Bring your pets to the theater?
There are
probably certain, not, right?
Certain theater chains do it. I know when, I mean, granted, it was Seattle, West Coast, and PN Dub. It's weird. You know, if you're listening there, you know it is. That you could bring your dog and people would bring dogs. Usually it was like a dog themed movie, and usually which were the sad ones, like a dog's purpose or a dog's life. I'm like, no.
Watch this dog die for 90 minutes.
Exactly. Like right next to my dog. Why? I don't want that. But I think like we got Clifford coming out, which it looks like trash, but you know, it's a dog movie. And then you got this one coming out. So there's two opportunities to take Teddy to the movies.
It's time to take Teddy to the movies, I think.
Or Rags. Rags can be, you can get dibs on the first hero. Which would you like?
Actually, I feel like Rags isn't like other dogs. It wouldn't pan out.
So he can be, what is the Batman dog?
Oh, Ace.
Ace. He can be Ace and Teddy can be Crypto. There you go.
There you go. Perfect. Because Rags, other dogs, she don't like.
Oh, there you go. But so we got that coming out. DC Fandom, great for them. Also something we kind of got teased during Fandom, didn't get really anything about it, but we know that the Flash's big 5-episode crossover event is going to be called The Flash Armageddon. We actually got a trailer for it.
We got a trailer for it. It looks amazing. I like how they kind of, we know other stars from the CW-verse shows are going to be in there. I don't know who the villain is, but he seems like a really intense actor.
Do I have
that? But I like how it was kind of just like layered there. Like we just heard Jefferson Pierce say, whose future is this? I'm like, yes, my future.
You tell him.
You tell him, Black Lightning.
The villain's going to be Despero, however you want to say that. Actually played by a Doctor Who alum, Vincent Van Gogh. Oh, no, sorry. Tony Curran, who played Vincent Van Gogh in Doctor Who.
I think Despero was a villain on one of the Justice League episodes, actually.
Yeah, so normally Despero in, like, the comics and probably animated show, he's, like, a Cyclops-looking, like, sort of fish-looking dude, monster.
Yes.
And this, obviously, he's looking human. The writers or whatever directors of this crossover said, that's not just his only appearance. So maybe we'll see sort of a CGI version of that. But like Kevin said, we're getting a ton of heroes in this. We've kind of been teasing it since we've known about it, like last year. Brandon Routh's coming back as Adam and potentially Superman, because I feel like in the trailer there's a brief moment where he's opening up a suit jacket.
And it was that, and also my girl that I wish had got her show picked up last year, because I didn't think it was that bad. Ali Mia Queen's coming back too as Arrow, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so Catherine McNamara's great for her because she kind of just got ghosted on everything pretty much with that show. Jivisia Leslie's coming back as Batwoman, which is dope because it's her first like big introduction to the Arrowverse at large instead of just hold on, let me check real quick. Who is I can see if that's Brandon Routh in the suit. What suit is he rocking? It is.
Oh, and the other Adam's going to be on there too. Okay, I can't remember his name. Ryan Choi, I think his name is.
Yes, Ryan Choi. The Brandon Routh, he's doing the Superman pose, but he could be also in the Adam suit, so it's funny if not. Yeah, so Ryan Choi, who we got introduced from Crisis on Infinite Earths. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on, name of our podcast. Kyler Lee is also supposed to be in it. So we're getting all representation from the shows that recently ended and are currently on air right now.
Any shot. No, I'm not even going to ask a question because he's been filming Whatchacallit for the last year, it feels like. So he probably wouldn't be on it either. Stephen Amell.
No, I think Stephen Amell, he's been doing Heels. So I don't know where it films, but I don't think it's in the same location. So it's easy for him. I mean, if it do, it'll probably be like a video thing or something.
Yeah. Actually, I feel like, too, also, they add so many characters to Flash every year. Why not add Mia Queen to Team Flash? That she can learn. You know what I mean?
That'd be pretty. I mean, and that would be that'd be believable. She's like, well, it depends. Because didn't she go back to the future, though?
Oh, yeah, right there in the future. You're right. Yes, right there in their weird future.
So maybe that's why Black Lightning goes, whose future is it? And it's like, ah.
There you go.
Well, other villains coming in, Eobard Thawn, obviously, versus Flash, played by Tom Cavanaugh, which is dope. Damien Dark, played by Neil McDonough, also coming back. It's exciting. It is interesting because The Flash is also getting a crossover event, and so is Riverdale at the same time, because Riverdale is introducing Sabrina the Teenage Witch in its crossover this year, too.
Yeah, because that show got axed after season 2 or 3, right? On Netflix.
Yes, on Netflix. It ended, and then the whole time was like, oh, they're connected. They're in the same universe, and now they are somehow. Apparently, Riverdale's talking about witchcraft, and I was like, wait a second. Wasn't this based on Archie Comics and Jughead? This doesn't make sense anymore.
Wasn't the first season kind of like a mystery, murder mystery, something like that?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, and apparently even people who watch Riverdale are like, what the hell is going on with this show? They're just putting spooky things in a show that shouldn't be about spooky things.
Well, that's kind of how the CW shows go. They start off strong, then around season 4, you're like, what the heck is going on? Like I said, Smallville, first 5 seasons are amazing. Then it's like, wait, what?
All right, cool. Speaking of Smallville, before we still haven't gotten to the bad side of the DC check-in yet. Smallville's animated series is still in the works, according to IGN. Tom Welling, Michael Rosenbaum, all kind of said and sourced that it's in the works. That's going to take place potentially up to like 20 years after the plot of the show. So we'll actually get, you know, Tom Welling as Superman and all of them voicing it, which is dope as hell. I think it'd be a perfect HBO Max series. Could be like, hey, guess what? You've seen Smallville now. Watch it again, and here's another pivot to watch it on HBO Max.
I just can't wait till somebody say, hey, where's Chloe? Oh, she's in an irreversible coma.
She's not here. She died. She's gone. Easy write-off.
It'll be interesting, though, because we saw on Crisis that he gave his powers up. So I wonder if that would be any kind of a synergy with that.
No, I think because that was sort of, we kind of are in an age of it's an homage more than it's the same character. I think that was just like, it's an homage / we got to play a Smallville song. I'm like, you just keep the damn song for the animated series. I'll damn straight watch it.
I'll never forget that night watching it, and my wife just goes, "Why are you screaming?" Like, they played a song.
I was in the basement of Flagship when that happened, and Flagship, my Young Life house that I was living in, screaming, only one watching it, and everyone's like, "What the hell are you talking about?" I was like, "It's the crossover event. Get in here.
Get in here now. What's a Smallville?
Don't worry about it. Just pay attention. I'll catch you up.
Sit there. You don't move. You watch."
But Kevin, those are the cool things going on at the Arrowverse. But it's not unfortunate. It's kind of, I'm glad it's happening because it needs to be happened. / said, there's some behind the scenes jank that went on in this Batwoman, and Ruby Rose is finally serving us the tea on what went down, sort of that led to her departure from the show, really.
Yeah, it was the whole thing. I think the narrative last year was that she just didn't want to do it anymore. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people say, well, because TV is more like a regular job. You work 5-6 days a week. And that was because you wanted to do more movie stuff. That was a narrative we got last year. But this year, she's like, nah, that's actually not what happened.
Yeah. So this is literally as of yesterday. So things have kind of changed based on this podcast recording. So we're going on what we have. I've seen a couple of updates already. But Ruby Rose posted on Wednesday on her Instagram, really hard to read text. Then she kind of simplified it and typed it up so everyone could read it after, which was fun.
Don't post cursive on the internet. It doesn't work.
a lot of sort of just an abusive set environment, conditions of injuries, sexual harassment, ignoring and just sort of looking the other way on set injuries. Like I said, sexual harassment, and Ruby Rose really shining a light because she ain't got no contract to CW. She can say whatever she wants, really. And I think probably at some point there was something that, like, she had to wait, an NDA most likely, and now she's kind of free of that, which is why this is happening now.
Yeah, I read something on our story that was very disturbing about a guy, I think his name was Peter Roth, getting his pants steamed while he was still wearing them. I was like, why is Hollywood so disgusting?
Also, you're going to burn yourself. Like,
it's just not safe.
But according to Rose, the behavioral issues on the set of Batwoman, like I said, extended from managerial malpractice to cut corners, led to physical issues for crew members like broken necks, broken ribs, cuts in the face and eyes. Apparently, a crew member being burned with third-degree burns, and them telling everyone on the set, just get back to filming, ignore it, they'll be fine.
Funny, because remember, we got earlier this year the things about Ray Fisher. Ray Fisher.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It just feels like when WB just needs to, I hate, it sounds very ageist. Don't get me wrong. I know it sounds very ageist, but they need to kind of just clean house and start with a very more younger, diverse production staff. Mm-hmm. It's just not working the way you thought it worked in the 70s or the 60s or the 80s. It's not that time anymore.
Yeah. Rose went on to say that Batwoman was a gig she took on as a passion project, one she took a pay cut to live out. But today she says she could never imagine returning to the series. You know, they kind of had her character return to the show briefly last season. And that was kind of maybe their way to kind of write out that character forever. WB is technically, as of this podcast recording, responded. So it'll be interesting to see the back and forth there, saying, quote, "Despite the revisionist history that Ruby Rose is now sharing online and the producers, cast, and the network, the truth is that WBTV has decided not to exercise its option to engage Ruby for season 2 of Batwoman based on multiple complaints about workplace behavior that were extensively reviewed and handled privately out of respect for all concerned." So really, they did the PC response, but I don't think this is going to be the last we hear this.
Yeah, because if you remember, there were reports of another, I guess, dirtbag that was, I think, short of Supergirl. Mm-hmm. Who got caught being a dirtbag and now he's gone.
Yes.
So I feel like it's also, I know that the CW in total, just by the site factor, is a very diverse network. You can watch that show for everybody. I mean, mm-hmm. gay, black, lesbian, gay, whatever it is, there's a show for you on CW. But I guess when it comes down to running their shows, they need to be a little bit more hands-on, it seems like.
Yeah. And this isn't the first, like Kevin said, it's not the first time. Apparently, a lot of people on Supergirl Twitter are noticing that John Cryer, who plays Lex Luthor, is liking and retweeting a lot of tweets about the cast of Supergirl having a lot of tea to say once the show is over. And obviously, this all kind of like really started for the CW, at least for us watching the shows, with Candace Patton really talking about representation for, like Kevin said, black, LGBTQ, all that good stuff, like not really happening. Because for a while, Candace Patton was the only black lead on the CW.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think the first black female lead, maybe not. I think that's probably, but like on CW at all current programming, And like you actually attended, I think it's the group, right?
Yeah, the CW. DC and DC, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of when she started really launching that See Her initiative. And like she made a good point too, because she was talking about like, they always talk about on the Flash, her great grandma's noodles, where on like coming from a black person, it wouldn't be my great grandma, it'd be my great grandma's mac and cheese. So why are we talking about noodles? Like, we don't make noodles as black people. One time we make noodles, we make spaghetti and we just boil them. It's not anything yeah. special.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, where was the group name? Oh, it's She Authority. That's what it is. My bad.
Authority. That's what it is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Which is with a bunch of actually Arrowverse actors. So we're going to see a little bit of change maybe potentially in the Arrowverse, maybe behind the scenes, which kind of happened like 3 years ago. And like Kevin said, it's time to clean some house. And it's the production crew, especially in this time where we almost had a strike completely, the entire industry isn't happy. And Netflix workers aren't happy. And actors aren't happy. Probably need to change some things beyond just the personnel.
Say too, because I feel like I never, well, I don't go out searching for bad news, but when it comes to like just 100% streaming shows that are on Netflix, not stuff like the Dave Chappelle things, but like shows literally made for Netflix or for Hulu or for Disney Plus, whatever, I never really hear anything about shady stuff going on behind the scenes, because I mean, I don't know why, but it always seems like when it's like the larger studio television, the WB TV, NBC, all the other stuff, that's when it's like, oh, things on set were horrible.
Well, I feel like we might see some a little bit. I think we are also finally in an era where production crews are finally catching up to the rest of the world a little bit in a good way, which is good.
Exactly. I 100% agree.
And that was the DC check-ins. We're going to check out of that real quick.
Before we get into another type of podcast.
Yes. But yeah, so we just want to state the facts just so you know and aware. Any updates happen, we'll obviously talk about that. But to go from the DC universe to another universe, the MCU, a ton of movies just got delayed. And it's real sad.
It's real sad, but at the same time, it's not horrible.
Exactly.
That makes sense. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So we got news. Was this on Tuesday? Or yeah, Tuesday, right?
Tuesday. Yeah.
Yeah. That a number of Disney and especially for us, Marvel movies were delayed. Doctor Strange was delayed from March 25th to May 6th of the same year, 2022. Thor: Love and Thunder was delayed from May 6, 2022 to July 8, 2022. Black Panther from July 8 to November 11, 2022. The Marvels from November 11, 2022 to the following year, February 17, 2023. Ant-Man Quantumania from February 17, 2023 to July 8, 2020. July 28, 2023. And then the untitled Marvel film, maybe Blade, you think? I don't know. I'm thinking Blade.
Blade, Fantastic Four, one of those probably.
Yeah. From November 10, 2023 to November 3rd, 2024, I guess it's supposed to say.
No, 2023 got moved up a week. Is that one?
Got moved up, yeah. But if you look at these dates, they're only a few weeks. It's not like if they had said Doctor Strange is going from March to December, I'm like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
You know?
And the other thing, which I just realized now when you read it, they all pretty much just got pushed back a movie release date. You know, Doctor Strange is at Thor. Thor is at Black Panther. Blah, boom, boom, boom. Keep going on.
And one thing I said when we were talking about this yesterday on a text message, I was like, maybe they got pushed back because of production issues, probably a part of it. But also, maybe Kevin Feige wanted to play with the Disney Plus series release order as well to kind of make everything kind of flow a little better.
Yeah, so they kind of explained it a little bit since they announced moving the release dates. It's really just to accommodate for production, to sort of give, now that we are kind of slowly getting out of this pandemic, producers and all the staff just time to more easily work on their projects instead of having to crunch them in and get everything in based on a timeline.
Yeah, I believe Doctor Strange, Thor, and Black Panther are done filming, or maybe close to being done.
Yeah, I think Black Panther's almost done. Guardians actually just started earlier this week, which is dope.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that to me, they probably need to just need more thunder in the editing room.
Other interesting thing with that, Indiana Jones 5 got delayed a whole ass year. But just heard Harrison Ford got injured again, so that's most likely why that got delayed.
That's what I'm gonna say. If you're delaying that, hide his planes from him. He can't fly for a year.
Can't have planes, doors on set, nothing. Just keep him in a bubble.
Somebody needs to carry him in one of those baby Bjorns, a large Harrison Ford size baby Bjorn.
You get Junis, who plays Chewbacca, to carry him everywhere.
Or Braun Strowman, and he's not wrestling anymore. He can carry him.
Oh, he might be wrestling. Apparently, I've seen on the Twitters.
Oh, yeah, there's wrestling. I don't even get started on wrestling Twitter right now. It's horrible, but yeah.
Whole thing in its own. But yeah, so it sucks. We will now have to wait do the math, 5 months, really, to get the conclusion, you assume, to Spider-Man No Way Home, which I assume that's what Doctor Strange is going to be, really, just a tee-up, toss-in from Spider-Man. Or do you think it's going to be more kind of a standalone culmination of a lot of other things?
I think it's going to be a culmination. It won't be Spider-Man 2 in essence, kind of like how Captain America Civil War is kind of Avengers 2.5. But it'll be definitely the WandaVision, Spider-Man, Doctor Strange is what kind of ties everything else together. It, also with Loki as well.
And spoiler, Venom.
Oh, yeah, Venom. The only thing that's interesting about the date for Doctor Strange is that it basically comes out on Revenge of the Sixth.
Yes, good timing. Also, probably another factor which I haven't talked about, DC, also most likely a factor with this. You know, the Batman is coming out in March 4th, so it would have been 21 days ahead of time, but I was probably just like, you know what, we'll give it the month. It can have March, that's fine. We'll get the other months. Apparently, Black Panther is supposed to be going head-to-head against Thor Love and Thunder, so that's going to be the Black Panther's going up against the Flash, so that's going to be the interesting one.
Yeah, the Flash is going to move. It's going to move.
They're not going up against Black Panther, especially the second one after Chadwick has unfortunately passed away. They're not going up against that.
Matter of fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Flash moved to January, because nothing comes out in January and they'll own that month.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's when Black Adam's supposed to come out.
That's a good point.
Oh, wait, did you say July or January?
January.
Oh, you're right. It's January is right. I all these dates are confusing me with the J's.
January is when you get like your what's that studio that makes all the horror movies?
Blumhouse.
Yeah, this is when you get all your Blumhouse movies.
They're always great.
Your indie darlings. You can plop. You probably could plop Flash weekend of New Year's and clean up.
Actually, let me see. When is the next Jordan Peele movie coming out? Because I feel like that's always a January.
Oh yeah, that's right. He is making a new movie.
2021. Let's see. No, that's in it. 2022. It's Nope. Oh, Nope comes out July 22nd. Okay, I was gonna say it always usually comes out in January because we had Us and Get Out both come out in January and February. That's in July as of right now. But still excited for that one too. Not related to these movies at all, but worth mentioning.
Also googling. I'm googling Blumhouse movies 2022. I'm just curious to see what their slate is.
One of them might be a pair making something scary from the 80s. One of them most likely is a new property.
Yeah, one is called The Black Phone. I saw a poster for that actually.
Oh, that one with Ethan Hawke. That one is creepy, but it looks good though.
But nothing in January though. Right. December 10th is American Refugee. Then nothing until February.
All right. Well, you're here first. Flash delayed to January or December.
Now, if this happens, I want my own band. You have to send me a band.
What, a Crisis Crew band?
Yes. Oh, I want it hand-delivered.
Well, speaking of Crisis Crew bands, this is going to be the topic where you can get one. It's time to re-educate some people on spoilers, specifically with the Eternals, because we're not going to spoil it here on this podcast, because we've also tried our dang hardest to avoid it as much as possible. But the end, something from the Eternals, to be as vague as possible, that's the word, was spoiled thanks to Variety reporter Matt Donnelly. Yep, we're going to say his name because you curse him. We curse him. We spit on his name.
I fought in your general direction.
That was a 3D audio podcast if you have AirPods or those fancy Sony headphones.
Oh, yeah. Oof. I can't afford those right now.
Can't afford those either. But yeah, so the not a friend, a foe at Variety decided to at the Eternals premiere, which was earlier this week in L.A., had a bunch of TikTok people. Friend of the podcast, Dorian Parks from Geeks of Color was there. He decided, you know what? I was going to tweet what happens in this movie that would shock the Internet. And now everyone else is, if you're nerdy, not reporting on it. Or if you're just a tabloid like a People or a USA Today or a Pop Sugar, just full out spoiling it for everybody.
Yeah, and the thing that makes me very upset about it is that, and Hoodie, I kind of put us in this category as well, not as big as, like, you know, like you said, Geeks of Color or even like Straw Hat Goofy and his TikTok and Soups, who kind of came out of the TikTok, kind of blew them up into really big movie influencers. But we get to do things that our listeners or even just people that are big in the fandom don't get to do. I mean, E3, the Call of Duty tournaments, we go to screenings. We get flown out to Vegas to cover a wrestling game that only we played apparently and liked. But but we get to do these amazing things. And I feel like with that comes a responsibility to not to, I guess, be a jerk about it.
And to respect, you know what I mean? It and to just be like, yeah, we're being representatives of the people that are either going to see this or play this or whatever in the future. And just do that and just throw it all away and be like, F you, guess what? You aren't going to get some enjoyment out of the potential end of this movie, then sorry.
Like, what if after we I think we saw Infinity War like a week and a half early, I think it was on, something like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What is what? Watch the theater and Twitter on our Twitter. Hey, by the way, Thanos killed everybody. It was crazy.
Now, granted, we did all post shocked reactions to the film, but you know what? That was truthful. It didn't spoil anything. We were just shocked at the end of it. Some would debate that the spoiler. But if we were to, yeah, you were right. If we were to say everyone got dusted or Iron Man died at Endgame, spoiler, it's on TNT now, so you should have seen it by now. People will have been pissed. And apparently, I've seen some Disney execs say that. Press people don't do this or you won't be invited to future events. No one's really said anything with Matt Donnelly. And there's also another Variety reporter that kind of spoiled it too. I hope they're not invited to Spider-Man No Way Home because that just don't seem right.
And I watched personally, I watched a YouTuber named John Campion. He tweeted about it. He said, in the light of all the spoilers from the Suicide Squad and the Eternals and other films, I am totally all for press and other audiences seeing a movie early have to fill out a personal information non-disclosure contract under penalty of $1 million or more. Now, maybe $1 million is a lot, because I mean, who has that besides the 1%? But if you totally want to fine them for spoiling your movie early that you spent millions on, I'm totally for that, because like you said, it's a privilege, and it you gotta approach it with a little realm of respect.
Yeah,
you know?
And the interesting thing is, and this one might be a little skeptical, but also foe of the podcast, if we try to, whatever, not a friend, I guess, Grace Randolph, who Kevin hates with a passion. She tweeted at her screening, they didn't even get end credit scenes. So Marvel has done their jobs, especially like Avengers. They didn't have the shawarma scene at all with the first movie to prevent spoilers. That wasn't really a big spoiler or anything. But even IGN saying, we will not be reporting on the spoiler in the story or anywhere else until the film is officially released, which is the right thing to do. That's the thing sort of behind the scenes. You have a social media embargo, which you can usually always see at the premiere. That film was great. Enjoyed it. This was my favorite thing. Then you have your review embargo or stream embargo. If you watch Twitch and stuff like that, you can be a little more critical. And then there's no spoiler embargo, but I feel like this might cause a spoiler embargo to happen.
It might have, even like, again, going back to John Campia, he goes as far as, so on his main everyday show, what just came out, Halloween Kills.
Mm-hmm.
He won't talk about any Halloween Kill spoilers on his main show until it comes out on DVD or on streaming.
That's a while.
Now, he'll do special streams for that are labeled Halloween Kills spoiler chat.
Which we do too. And we should also give you a 30-second intro of this is spoilers.
Exactly. But on his main show, like when Eternals comes out, he won't talk about the Eternals on his main show spoilers until it comes out on streaming.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's, like I said, that's a little extreme, but you always see, like, even when movies come out, like, movie comes out on Thursday night, Monday morning, every website, ending explained. Like, dude, it's Friday morning. Not everybody's seen it on Thursday. Yeah. Can we wait a week?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, hashtag crisis crew, we're just going to institute a rule for us is, obviously, we tell you when spoilers happen, so you have that. But just to be nice people, you know, like, I never told Kevin the ending of Venom because he didn't see it, and, you know, the internet probably spoiled that one for him, so I was safe when I just spoiled it earlier in this podcast. You wait until your friend sees it, then you talk about it, you know? You don't ruin it and be like, oh, let me talk about this show I know everyone is watching. You know, this is where you talk to your friends. You see what they're watching. You're like, oh, what episode are you on? What minute, maybe, perhaps? Then you figure out what you can and can't talk about.
Even going back to Infinity War, that was when you were still in Seattle. Me and Javi didn't call you after we got out. I was like, yo, that's what happens at the end.
Yeah, you saw it 2 hours before I saw it. I'd have been pissed if you guys saw it before I did.
Let me text you. We'll talk to you at 7 o'clock our time. That's when you'll be done.
Mm-hmm. 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 And granted, you know, say what you will about good and bad press, that this is definitely hyping up the Eternals even more. You're going to put more butts in seats with it for sure. Not talking about the spoiler in specific. But it just stinks because now that spoiled thing is going to happen, and what could have been a, oh, crap, oh, damn, which really didn't. I mean, we kind of got with Black Widow with Contessa. It's on Disney Plus, so I can spoil it now. And then Shang-Chi, we got. Yeah,
it was
we got
the end credits scene.
End credits really good that too, Shang-Chi. Which coming November 12th. Just like those were dope, and now to like, oh, that got wasted. It's like, okay.
But on the bright side of things, Returnal's most of your actions so far are really, really positive.
Yes.
The word I'm seeing a lot is dense.
Yes, it is. Apparently long is long. I mean, look, it's an Academy Award winning director with the film. So it's going to be dense. Like Kev said, dense, long. It's definitely, I've seen a lot of people talk about how it's the most non-MCU movie of a character study. But I mean, we all have been talking about that's what it was going to be. So I'm excited still for it. And I hope we see it sooner than later so more spoilers don't happen.
So one personality say that it's more Justice League than Justice League was Justice League.
Okay. So, but better, right?
Yeah, I think they're saying as far as like the dialogue and the story and the I guess the character interplay. Oh, and they're talking about Zack Snyder's Justice League, not the one that we don't talk about. But
so it doesn't have the little kid saying, "Are you Superman? Do you want to be on my podcast?"
Oh, that was cute for about 4 minutes. He'd be like, "Oh no, this is the whole movie."
Oh no. But yes, that's just a friendly reminder on spoilers. To continue with the show, though, let's talk about Halloween and what's getting you ready for Halloween. Is that Disneyland's Oogie Boogie Bash, aka its Halloween event, actually has zombie Captain America, and he looks dope as hell.
It looks pretty glorious, and I don't know if they can do this because of song rights, but I'm all for a zombie Avengers Thriller dance in the middle of Disneyland at some point.
Ooh, I feel like Thriller, like at least at public events, is like okayed, because I feel like I've been, where was it? Actually, yeah, when I went to Disneyland like 6 years ago in September, willy-nilly, they had the Halloween stuff going on. I think they did play Thriller and, you know, the Monster Mash and all. It's just Halloween classics. You just get the Spotify playlist or iHeartRadio playlist, the podcast service near you, and then you just rock with it. You know, you don't have rights and can't play that song so unless it's, you know, mean and sexual, like Disturbia.
Do Halloween songs rival Christmas carols as far as, like, the number of them? Or is there more Christmas carols?
There's definitely more Christmas songs than Halloween songs. I mean, Halloween also has like those instrumentals, like, you know, the actual Halloween theme. You have Friday the 13th, which actually, yeah. I just watched the Movies That Made Us episode about it, and it's actually because it's
really
Jason telling Mrs. Voorhees, spoiler, not really a spoiler, the first Friday the 13th with his mom, then he comes in, is Jason mentally or whatever, spookily telling the mom, "Kill the mommy." So it's it's fun fact.
Yeah, I get it. That's what it is. It's kind of like this Michael Jackson song, "I'm gonna say what I said, I'm not gonna stop." It's not. It's "I'm gonna say, I'm gonna stop, I'm not gonna stop. I don't care what you say."
But yeah, so like I would say winter holiday songs definitely outpace Halloween songs.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Because even like I say, even when you bring in like movie, themes and movie scores, it's still not. How many versions of Happy Holidays are there that's sung by like 18 different people?
Exactly. And here's the thing. Most of the Halloween songs come from movies themselves. Like most of it's Nightmare Before Christmas movies.
Oh, yeah. Like Monster Mash was actually about a movie about a Monster Mash.
Yes. And like Nightmare Before Christmas, you have the Oogie Boogie Bash and This Is Halloween. And I mean, you've had many versions of This Is Halloween. You have the Marilyn Manson one and then the Panic at the Disco one. Big fan of the Panic at the Disco one.
Panic is classic, man.
But yeah, so you can see zombie Captain America at Avengers Campus, which is really dope. I think it's just a cool way of like integrating What If and being like, all right, let's put some Halloween stuff in Avengers Campus. We already had Agatha from WandaVision / the It's Been Agatha All Along spinoff show, we want it to be called. I think that's just make it even better. But my prediction here is they do this right, they can have like a zombie, they can have an actual haunted house, whatever the new, like the next Quinjet ride or whatever it's supposed to be in the fall, whatever, make that sort of a little maze where you have the zombie versions of every character in there.
That'd be very interesting. I like that idea.
Make it happen.
I like that idea.
Hire me, Disney. So
I will say, if you, because I'm this person now because I'm a father or a dad, I follow a lot of Disney parks people on YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter, and
Tim Tracker.
They are not. What's the word I'm looking for? They think Bob Chapek is going to basically ruin Disney World in the next 5 years.
Yeah, we got Zombie Cap. Got that at least. Lightning Lanes are started now, apparently, because I got the update on my Disney app.
Yeah, I mean, $15 for Rise of the Resistance doesn't sound that bad.
Yeah, I guess we could talk about that briefly because it happened like earlier this week. Like Kevin said, the wait for Rise of the Resistance, if you paid $15, was like 6 minutes. That was a couple of days. Can you look at the wait for Lightning Lane in the app now?
I don't. I think it's in that other genie thing, Disney genie thing. Yeah. But I did follow somebody Disney food blog. She actually posted what the prices were today. Mm-hmm. Trying to find it.
Well,
Disney food.
Lightning Lane.
Yeah. So she said, here we go.
Fine.
That was yesterday.
Oh yeah, but she like she paid for a day of stuff, and she was like, "Oh, it was $6 here, 5 minute wait, stuff like that."
Here it is. It says, "Remy's Ratatouille Adventure was $9. Mickey's Runaway Railway, $8. Rise of Resistance, like we just said, $15. Space Mountain $7. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train $10. Frozen Ever After $9. Flight of Passage is $11. Everest is $7. I mean, that's not horrible.
It's not too
horrible,
bad.
But,
I don't. No, I don't remember if you have to pay the separate fee as well, or is just like for the used Disney Genie and then get those. But if you're just paying $15 to get on the ride and save time so you can ride more rides in the park and enjoy it, why not? I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, it's for every person, though, keep in mind.
That's where it comes from. Mm-hmm. For me, it wouldn't be $15. It would be $45.
At least $45 with your family.
Yeah.
Well, to go from one horror to the other, Kevin spending a ton of money just to get on the dang Dumbo ride for the 100th time in December to go to our greatest Halloween movie ever bracket. Kevin, we're in the Eerie 8.
Eerie 8 is upon us, sir.
And then we are trying to get to our Fearsome 4, then the Final Girl, which will happen next week. We're actually really close to like this next voting process will start tomorrow as of this podcast recording at 12 o'clock. Or today, sorry, today at, wait, tomorrow or today? Boop, boop, boop. Today, as of this podcast recording, you'll actually start with the scary conference. Then on Friday, you will do the family conference. You'll have until Sunday morning to get your votes in, see who moves on. But Kevin, I guess I'll cover scary on what happened over there in the Scary 16, the Eerie 18. Halloween, not dethroned, but beat the ring. Kind of figured that was going to happen. Hey, it's still in the running to have my prediction come true of Halloween be Halloween Town, and I'm excited.
Basically, the OGs both came out in this bracket. It was pretty kind of cool.
Then you had Nightmare on Elm Street versus A Quiet Place. Nightmare on Elm Street 1. Really dope. I think for this next bracket where it's Halloween versus Nightmare on Elm Street, it is really the first sort of modern horror movie versus the one that came right after it and sort of not really came after it, but was heavily inspired by it and made horror really like cool and sort of culturally cool.
I 100% agree. Keyword there, culturally cool. I 100% agree.
Yes. Then in the sort of other bracket, I don't know what. We didn't really label the smaller brackets. You had It going up against The Conjuring. Pennywise the Clown, his dancing antics with Back That Thing Up. Still one dancing on Instagram. So you got It making it to the Eerie 8. Going up against the winner of The Exorcist and Get Out. Stay woke because Get Out made it. And it's now facing It in that bracket. And unfortunately, I think this is where Get Out might not proceed any further, unfortunately.
I'm actually surprised it got this far because it's not a traditional horror movie, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually surprised it got this far.
Yeah, I mean, and when you think about it, what's moving on into, you know, The Fearsome Four, what is an iconic Halloween movie versus what is just, this is just a normal horror movie. That is just, you can watch it any time of the day and it's scary. Where you're really watching during Halloween and that's it.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it is a once a year thing. Have you been to those Halloween stores that have the really big it eating thing that you walk yes. by and it screamed at you?
You've also probably seen this on TikTok. There's also, I don't want to say it. It's the Gluck Gluck 3000, where it is apparently this like, it's one of those animatronics, like you said, like the it one, where it like kind of sucks someone's soul and like fog comes out of the mouth or whatever. This one, though, it is a possessed lady and I think a normal man just shaking the man's leg. And going back and forth, and that's why it's called the Gluck Gluck 3000. You can figure that one out yourself and see it on TikTok from now on.
that's a bit much. I get people love Halloween, but that's a bit much.
That's a bit much, and TikTok going wild with that one. But Kevin, that's family friendly and not talk about that anymore. What's happening over there from the Scary 16 to the Eerie 8?
Well, much to my dismay, Adam's family could not pull it out against Nightmare Before Christmas, which moved on to the Eerie 8.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hocus Pocus asked Twilight, how did you get here? And then they took them down. Yeah. And now we'll go against Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, we kind of knew Hocus Pocus wasn't going to make it far. But now it's actually going up against legit competition with Nightmare Before Christmas. Those are the two iconic Disney Halloween movies. There's another one I wouldn't say as iconic, but like they got deep ass fandoms between these two movies.
Fandom. In the other bracket, we have a Halloween Town and Scary Movie. And unfortunately for me, Scary Movie took its exit here. Halloween Town moved on to Eerie 8.
Let me tell you, though, Scary Movie was real close. Literally, I checked it like an hour before the poll was closing. Scary Movie was like 60%. Halloween Town was at 40% of the vote. And then literally right when it ended, it switched. And I was like, thank God. Because I was like, I don't need the Scary Movie and people to roast us that it beat Halloween Town.
Those darn mail-in votes. And then in the other bracket, Zombieland lost to the OG Beetlejuice. So it'll be Halloween Town versus Beetlejuice in the Eerie 8.
Yeah. And so like these are like OG, like these are definitive Halloween movies. Like Get Out is kind of oddly named the black sheep of this one, kind of with all the other ones, which is really dope just to see, you know, what you immediately assume is a Halloween movie. Boom, that's what makes it to the final four. Because I polled everyone on your morning show. They all said one of these eight movies, and I was proud of them because I was like, they haven't looked, or maybe they have voted. Maybe I just don't know because I can't see who votes. But I was like, good for them to taking a stance on what's the OGs, the classics.
Well, I will say for Get Out, at least for my culture of people, we've all had those suspicions sometimes. So I can understand why it's gone so far.
Will it be the dancing clown? We'll find out later this week. But yeah, so that's up. You, the people, have been voting in this. Kevin and I, we get a vote, but that doesn't do anything with this mainly. So you guys, you, the Crisis Crew, have definitely been pimping it out. Appreciate that. It's just fun to do Halloween, and I'm excited whenever we do that Nickelodeon one in March, because that one's going to be a lot more interesting because there's not a definitive favorite. Everyone's kind of biased on that one.
Usually for my vote, I was giving the phone to Leah. Say, hey, Leah, vote for stuff.
Pick
okay.
One.
She knows what she's doing. She just thin buds.
Scary Movie and Twilight have made it this far.
Maybe she's the one.
You know, you can't go. Actually, Twilight, I was so excited because I've been trying to put songs on all of them based on the movies. And it was so dope just to hear the Paramore songs. Oh, Decode, this is a good damn song. I remember I didn't watch it till last year, but I was like, this makes me feel like I'm in middle school, seventh grade right now. I was like, how do we get here? That's my singing for you, so you enjoy that.
That's a jam. Paramore, man, I can't wait to send to my daughter one day. Let me tell you about a band called Paramore.
And then all of a sudden, she closes the door. Get out of here, Dad. I hate you.
Let me tell you about a song called Misery Business.
It's like, oh, or You Are the Only Exception or Decode. All right, I'm set for life now with these three songs.
Let me tell you a little story about an album called Riot.
It was a game changer. Little did we know this would riot our lives. So Kevin, as of this Eerie 8, who do you got in the final two as of right now? Because your Scary Movie has been dethroned.
I think it's definitely gonna be Beetlejuice and Nightmare Before Christmas, I think.
All right, you heard it here first. There's Kevin's predictions. Will Kevin's predictions come true? You'll have to find out by listening to Monday's episode. We're getting close. I just realized we're going to be announcing the winner on our Halloween episode of who really is the greatest Halloween movie of all time. How fitting is that? It's like I planned it.
Ooh.
Spooky. How it works.
Don't forget, next month we start the Thanksgiving movie bracket because I think it's two movies.
It's quick. In and out. Done. All right. Great.
And I don't think either of those two movies. I haven't seen them. I've never seen Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
No, I haven't either. I've really wanted to see it, but every time it's on, like, we got to eat. I'm like, I want to watch this, though.
I've never wanted to watch it.
Well, one day you will. But anyway, you get to vote at @infinite_pods on what makes it on to the Fearsome Four. There you go. Had to figure out that name for that one. And it'll be interesting. You have until technically Sunday this week as this podcast recording. Then Monday we'll announce who wins. Keeps on going. Go to hot99.5.com/CrisisCrew to keep up to date on that. Print your own brackets. Definitely a cool conversation starter for either any Halloween party or if you're going to the Metro this year for Nightmare on M Street or anything like that. To fill on the train and like, hey, what is your favorite? And like, oh, I don't know you at all, stranger. We're friends now.
Yeah, like people do those Oscar pulls. Exactly. During Oscar season.
But it's cool, you know, because it's fun movies everyone's seen. Not movies people are like, oh, I saw the trailer.
I work with a few people like that, actually, at the radio station I work at. I'm like, I watch Marvel movies. No, they don't look that good. I'm like, who are you?
Shut your mouth. I have a podcast about that. But Kevin, any final word before we peace on out of here?
I'm mad at the Crisis Crew for not voting through Scary Movie, but I get over it.
But you know what? I'm happy because Halloween Town moved on, and it is a movie for the people, because you can't go wrong with Marnie becoming a witch. Don't talk about Halloween Town 4. That one's, I'm going to say it, it's shit. Don't talk about Halloween, Return to Halloween Town, which is the name of that one. They got rid of Marnie, Kimberly J. Brown, and they shouldn't have, because she was great in the other three, and we don't respect the fourth one in this household. Also, fun fact, she's married to Calabar, or Cal, which is Calabar's son, in Calabar's Revenge, the second one. They're married in real life. Fun fact for you, she married the bad guy. She chose the wrong path in the movie.
You chose poorly.
Well, she chose right, because they look happy. But in the movie, she would have chose poorly.
I only know you based on your movie personality, not your personality. So you chose wrong.
You, that and your TikTok personality. That's all I know you for. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. Like we said, we actually forgot to do this. For the Crisis Crew Band question this week, what got spoiled to you? Whether it was a movie, a TV show, or a book. Man, someone spoiled a book for you. How dare you? How dare you spoil a book?
And also, I always say this when we talk about spoilers. Shout out to the people that read Game of Thrones before everybody watched the show. Knew the Red Wedding was coming and told nobody.
Be like a Game of Thrones fan before the bad season happened. Be like that. We'll get redeemed sort of with this House of Dragons. Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure to get your Halloween costume now, because the return, refund, exchange dates are coming up soon. And make sure it fits, because they don't have dressing rooms at Halloween stores anymore. So you got to try it on at home.
Because of the pandemic, probably.
Yeah, sometimes you're in between a size, didn't realize you were the bigger size. That's the pandemic for you.
That is the pandemic. Oh, these pants used to fit.
Have a great weekend. My name's Hoodie.
And I'm Kevin.
And you've officially listened to this spooky episode of what, Kev?
Crisis.
On
Infinite
Podcast.
The Monster Mash.
It was a Monster Mash.
The Monster Mash.
It was a Graveyard Smash.